Father, in the name of Jesus, as always, I thank you for the entrance of your word brings light. Let it shine in our hearts, the light of the word of God, even the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Let it shine in our hearts today, giving us revelation, knowledge, and understanding. Understanding the word of the Lord and your purpose, even at this time. We give you, Lord, all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, yesterday we started this series that I called, you know, Rediscovering the Keys of the Kingdom. And I'm going to do part two of that today. But just so we get a quick understanding, a quick recap from yesterday. When we are talking about keys of the kingdom, we're not actually talking about keys to the kingdom. There are keys of the kingdom. There's a difference, you know, even though keys are generally used, you know, to open something. What we are presenting here is more along the lines of concepts. When we understand the concepts of the kingdom, that's actually what empowers us to use the so-called keys. Jesus said, you know, I will give you the keys of the kingdom. I was talking about that in Matthew chapter 16, after Peter gave the revelation of who Jesus was. And Jesus said, upon this rock, which is the revelation of who Christ is, he said, well, I will build my church. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. Whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I also talked yesterday briefly from Job chapter 38. We see in verse 33 that generally speaking, something happens in the heavens first before, you know, it's manifested upon the earth. God said to Job, asking him many questions. Do you know the ordinances of heaven? And can you set their dominion upon the earth? You know, so we see that, you know, if you can figure out the ordinances of heaven, you might be able to set the dominion in the earth. Well, the ordinances of heaven have to do with, these keys of the kingdom have to do with these ordinances. But here Jesus is saying, on earth, when you figure it out, you will actually, what you do on earth will be sanctioned in heaven. You know, so as I said, generally things happen in heaven first, then on earth. But Jesus said this time around, if you figure it out, what you do here on earth will be sanctioned in heaven. You can actually reverse that direction because where you are, that's where God is. You know, so one of the things that we're going to be talking about in this series is understanding that we are representing God. Where you are, that's where God is. This is the thing that God did after he created the man. In Genesis, the Lord said, well, the man is here now, so I can relax. And, you know, he looked at the man. He had a complete package. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 said the Lord breathed into the man and he had a complete package from God. He knew everything instantly. Could talk instantly, could walk instantly, didn't have to spend months crawling and all of that. It was a grown son of man, son of God, instantly. You know, and the Lord looked at him and said, yep, the man is here now. You know, let him do these things. Let him have dominion. Hallelujah. So we'll be talking about that. Now, Let me get to today's lesson. Here today, I want to dive a little more into some of the, you know, concepts of the kingdom. You know, but let me remind us that when Jesus announced his earthly ministry, he gave a, what you might call a mission statement. I mean, people do have mission statements and things like that when they create a business or church or organization or whatever. You know, it says, for this purpose, I came. We read that in Luke chapter 4 yesterday. You know, when the people came to him and said, just stay here with us. Because at the beginning of that ministration, they were really enjoying him because he was, you know, bringing deliverance and things like that. He hadn't gotten very deep into some of his messages. And so they came to him, Luke chapter 4, you know, and verse 40 and so on. He healed all of them. He cast out devils and things like that. And then, you know, he went into a desert place and, you know, just tried to recoup. And people sought him and came unto him and, you know, said, look, don't depart from us. They wanted him to stay there. So they stayed him and that he should not depart from them. And they wanted him, just stay here with us. But here is Jesus' response. Luke chapter 4 and verse 43. But he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. It looks like he was sent to preach the kingdom of God. We also talked about, you know, the representation of, you know, the kingdom of God with, you know, how we compare it to the kingdoms of this world. The kingdoms of this world, we are told, will be destroyed. Daniel chapter 2, we cover that one, by the kingdom of God. And fast forward to Revelation 11 and 15. I'm getting into today's message now. Fast forward to Revelation 11 and 15. We see that it says, after the seventh angel sounded, then there was a voice that made a declaration. You know, this is the future state. It's what we are looking forward to. The current state, if you compare the world in its current state to God's future state, people don't, you know, I mean, it doesn't even look like what God intended in the beginning. But at the end of it all, he's going to come right back to it. In Revelation 11:15, he will say, and the seventh angel sounded. And there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Now, I want you to notice something here in this statement, because there was a question asked of me yesterday. You know, this statement here, Revelation 11, great voices in heaven. And those voices were actually in heaven. But what was their proclamation? They said the kingdoms of this world. You know, which world? And they didn't exactly say the kingdoms of heaven. Well, we already know the kingdom of heaven has already belonged to the Lord. But they said the kingdoms of this world, even though these people are in heaven, they are looking at something to happen to the world. This is what they were all expecting. Romans 8, we are told in verse 19 that the whole creation waiting. There's something that everybody is waiting for. Everything, really. Manifestation of the sons of God. These people are also waiting for something to happen. You know, an expectation of the creature, waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. You know, in Revelation 11, they've been waiting. And finally, they were able to declare it the kingdoms of this world have finally become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. Just like Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44 said, in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall not be left to other people. It's going to destroy all these other kingdoms, and it will be established, and it will break in pieces all these ones, but it will stand forever. Now, let's talk a little more about, you know, that kingdom. The kingdom of God that is going to take over, break in pieces, consume all these other kingdoms, and then in itself will stand forever. Now, these kingdoms, we're told, shall not be left to other people. But, you know, it's going to be given to the saints of God. Yesterday, I mentioned something I want to say quickly here as we go through the attributes of this kingdom of God. Notice that I said yesterday that this is the only kingdom where all the citizens are actually all kings. You know, so it doesn't happen in other kingdoms. In other kingdoms, there's one king, everybody else is a subject. Yeah, but in this kingdom, there is one king, and everybody else are also kings. And that's why we call him King of Kings. And in that kingdom also, in this kingdom, everybody is a lord. A lord is someone that possesses something and has dominion. You know, that's why people use the word lord it over people. Don't lord it over them and so on. You know, because you have dominion. You know, so he is the King of Kings. His subjects are kings. And he is the Lord of Lords. His subjects are lords. And this is a unique thing about this kingdom. Please make note of that. There are other unique things about this kingdom, about which Jesus began to preach. Jesus began to preach this kingdom, and everybody he sent out in Matthew chapter 10, verse 7, he sent them and said, go and preach, saying the kingdom of God is at hand. He himself, the first words out of his mouth when he was going to announce his ministry, you know, in Luke chapter 4, after he was baptized of John, you know, Holy Spirit came upon him, was driven to the wilderness to be tested and all of that. You know, we see that when he come out of all that, goes to his synagogue, picks up the book of Isaiah, finds the place where it is written. We see that at the end of all of that, then he went out after he said that this day is a scripture are fulfilled in your eyes. You know, he went out and began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. You know, so, and, you know, when people wanted him to stay in one place, he said, no, I can't do that. I have got to go and preach this gospel of the kingdom to other cities also. And you'll notice that back in the day, you know, God was focusing on entire cities. You know, entire cities. Because, you know, the plan of God was for, you know, the kingdoms of this world to become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. So God always focus on entire cities. In fact, the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, when the Lord asked John to write to the churches, you know, the letters were written to churches in certain cities. I mean, the emphasis was the church in Ephesus, the church in Smyrna, Sardis, Philadelphia, Thyatira, and so on, Laodicea. I mean, churches, I mean, focus on the cities. The idea eventually, and again, you fast forward, the idea is when you see in Revelation 20 and 21, when God begins to close things out, in Revelation 21, it says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. Coming down to where? Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. You know, and if you read all of the things, how, you know, that great city, the Holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven, how it was described. It says it has the glory of God in verse 11. You know, it's like unto the light of it was like a stone, most precious, like jasper, clear as crystal. I mean, it talked about the gates. It talked about, you know, all of the things it has, foundations. You look at the building was like jasper. The city was of pure gold. Yeah, you know, clear glass and all these things. It talks about all these jewels that were there. Jasper, sapphire, chalcedony, and emerald, and sardonyx, and sardis, and chrysolite, and beryl, and topaz, and chrysoprasos, you know, and jacinth, and amethyst. I mean, all these rare metals. You can't even pronounce the names, and so on and so forth. Now, when we look at the present corrupt state of the world, nobody actually wants to live here. I mean, people who really know that the Lord has promised them better. You know, so in our minds, then we think of heaven as the place that we're supposed to go to get us out of this world. Because this world is corrupt. And that's a good thinking. That's a good thinking. We should never lose sight of that and relax and think that this world in its current state is our final destination. No, it isn't. And the kingdoms of this world in their current state, at best, they are corrupt and they will be destroyed. So people who are putting confidence in the kingdoms of this world or in politics and so forth, it's not going to work. They're going to be, you know, very gravely disappointed because they will be all these structures. I call them the mystery of iniquity. Down through the ages, they will eventually be destroyed. God will set up a kingdom that will be given to the saints of the Most High. But when you see this new Jerusalem that's coming down from heaven, when you see the new earth, that's a place that people will want to be. Nobody wants to be here now today. People are believers. You know, they want to go to heaven. But here is the deal. When God made Adam, he did not make him in heaven. And God did not take Adam to heaven. What he said to Adam was that they may have dominion upon the earth. And we read also in Psalm 115 verse 16, where the scripture says, the heaven, even the heavens belong unto the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. So the kingdom of heaven the expansion thereof is into the earth. And that was, it was in his plans from the beginning. So when Jesus came announcing that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, you know, basically he's trying to help us rediscover that kingdom. And he chose to come in the time of the Caesars, the Roman Empire and the Roman kingdoms that were ruling the world at the time, because their culture and their philosophy you know, was closer to what God wanted than any other kingdom. The previous kingdoms, when they would colonize a place or invade a place, colonize the place, instead of really colonizing the place like Roman did, they didn't. They would just carry away the captives back to their own country. That's how Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Esther, Ezra, Nehemiah, all these people, that's how they were in the captivity. They would come and carry them away into captivity. Well, God didn't like that model. You know, and every one of them did that. Now, finally, when the Roman model came, they had a culture and a model that was closer to what God wanted. They would actually, Rome would actually come there, colonize the place, but then carry anybody away captive. They would install their own government in the place, you know, and teach the people their structure, their culture, their language, everything, and make them to become obedient and subservient and serve Caesar. You pay taxes to Caesar and all of that. But they didn't carry anybody away captive. You know, this is important. So the kingdom of God is similar. And Jesus chose to come. It's significant that he came during that era. You know, and what the kingdom of God does for now is he's not carrying anybody away to heaven, not just yet at least, because he prayed in John 17 and 15, say, Father, I pray that you take them not out of the world. So his plan was not come here and carry everybody, sweep everybody over to heaven. That was not the plan. If it was the plan, he wouldn't have prayed like that. But he said, keep them here on earth. They have something to do. Now, having laid that foundation, let's look at the, you know, what the kingdom of God, you know, is that Jesus talked about for so much. In all the times that Jesus preached, all the things that were recorded about Jesus, there were three times that he talked about church. You know, three times. In Matthew chapter 16, the place we read where he said, I will build my church, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That's one place that he talked about it. You know, he also talked about it, you know, in, Matthew 18, when he was talking about, you know, if your brother, you know, offends you, go and talk to them and so forth between you and them. If they don't listen, take somebody else with you. And if they don't still don't listen, then tell it to the church. And if they don't listen, then let them be, you know, let them be considered a heathen to the church. And so in those three places, he talked about the church. Until we get to the book of Revelation in chapters 2 and 3, where he was sending letters to the churches. There's no other reference to church. Now, however, there are 117 references to the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven in all his lessons and his teachings. Now, this part of what I want to say today is to address and to contrast, you know, what people think of the church as the goal, you know, or something. You know, the end game. And, you know, some people are focused. There are many aspects that we're going to bring out in this series. You know, this today, I want to focus on those who focus on the church as if that's the thing that, you know, God was most interested about. Yes, I will build my church. But before he talked about church, he talked about kingdom. He talked about kingdom throughout the Bible before he ever talked about church. He talked about kingdom from the beginning. He talked about kingdom in Daniel. He talked about kingdom in Isaiah. You know, he even talked about government. Hallelujah. When Isaiah announced the birth of Christ in Isaiah chapter 9, this is the way he put it out. You know, he said, unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government, government is a kingdom, shall be upon his shoulder, you know, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace shall be no end. And upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, you know, to order it and so forth. I mean, he's been talking about kingdom forever. You know, throughout the book of Daniel, he was talking about this kingdom shall be given the saints. He said there's coming a time when the saints shall possess the kingdom. According to Daniel, he talked about that in Daniel chapter 7. The saints shall possess the kingdom. And that was what God was presenting to us. It was always important to God. I mean, this concept of kingdom was always important. So it is natural for us to expect that when Jesus came and he was talking about the kingdom, what did he have in mind? I mean, listen to some of the things that, you know, that Daniel saw in Daniel chapter 7. I saw in the night visions, one like the Son of Man. This is Daniel chapter 7 and verse 13. Came with the clouds of heaven, came to the Ancient of Days. It brought him near. That was given to him dominion and glory and a kingdom. And all people, nations, languages, you serve him. And his dominion is an everlasting dominion. This is the end game. You know, Daniel saw it. You know, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. I mean, he saw all of these things. And he says in verse 18, but the saints of the Most High shall take their kingdom and possess their kingdom forever and ever. Now, he talked about these great beasts, the four kings and so forth, you know, but at the end of it, the saints of the kingdom will take, saints of the Most High will take the kingdom and all of that. And he even said, look, I beheld, that's a little horn, the Antichrist. He saw it all, made war with the saints, prevailed against them for some time, you know, until judgment was given to the saints, and the time came that the saints should possess the kingdom. It was always about the saints possessing the kingdom. So when Jesus arrived on the scene and began to say, you know, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And he began to teach his disciples that, look, when you go out, I want you to say, the kingdom of God is at hand. This is what he told the disciples. You know, we have to now go back and see all of these references to the kingdom and see what he has been talking about. Jesus, Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. This is the first time that he began to say anything about in his public ministry. The first thing he began to say, from that time, Jesus began to preach, was the beginning of his preaching, and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus didn't come to establish a religion. You know, he came to reintroduce and reconnect us and help us rediscover the kingdom of heaven. This was his mission. And this was the mission he sent his disciples. Go and preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is here. And introduce this. And he also said, look, in the book of Luke chapter 16 and verse 16, listen to this. I'm going to draw this parallel in a minute, but listen to this. The law and the prophets, Luke 16 and 16, were until John. You know, all the things happening in the Old Testament and so on. John was the bridge between the Old Testament and the coming, what will be the coming of the new eventually. You know, Christ would bring in the New Testament through his death, you know, and so on. Now, the law and the prophets were until John. But since that time, the kingdom of God is preached. Now, not exactly, you know, the message that the church is preaching today. Now, in the church today, we think that coming to church is really the kingdom. That's what people think. So, you know, it's either when we tell people to give their lives to Christ or ask them and preach to them, we invite them to come to church, or we tell them to be saved so that they can go to heaven. But there's always something lost in the message. Come to church or be saved and go to heaven. You know, it's a message that the church preaches most of the time. It's something that is lost. What is the kingdom of God? You know, what is it that it should be looking like? You know, what we should be doing is what the Romans did. They installed their own government. They showed the people how to live. They made the people understand the culture and all of these things to the point where people wanted to be Roman citizens. You know, I mean, even those who were not natural Roman, I mean, not born into Rome, you know, as a Roman citizen, they wanted to become Roman citizens. And they would see it and say, wow, you know, we want that. You know, and I, you know, I talked about a colony, you know, is a place where our territory, a colony, is a place where a king rules, right? He wants to make the people be like the culture of the foreign kingdom, you know, reflect the image, the values, and so on and so forth. So whereas the church is limited in its thinking today, we need to expand our horizon. You know, here are some things that we need to understand about the attributes of the kingdom so that the message the church is preaching should be refined. You know, because coming to church is not the end game. And somebody is saved and they're waiting to go to heaven. In the meantime, they come to church. That's not the end game. You know, the church has its role. And we're supposed to be, you know, the agents of transformation, showing the light and showing these people when they see what we have. That's what Jesus said. Matthew 5, you know, he talked about it, you know, verses 12, 13, and 14. 13 and 14 especially, he talked about it. You know, when the people see what you have, then they want to be like that. You are the salt of the earth, he said. You know, and then he also said, you are the light of the world. Then verse 16, he finally said, let your light so shine. You know, so we're there shining and showing, and people want to, they want some of that. Now, every kingdom has a king. If it doesn't have a king, then what kind of kingdom is it? And every king has a domain or territory. You know, so the word kingdom, you can piece it together, the king's domain. Piece it together for that. A kingdom also has citizens, right? And yesterday I talked about you cannot really become a member of a kingdom. You know, just like we're trying to make people members of the church, you cannot become a member of the kingdom. You know, you are born into the kingdom. Jesus said to Nicodemus, until you are born into the kingdom, you cannot be part of it. You know, and Jesus would always tell the people, he was always telling the people, he said, look, except you be converted and become as little children, you can't even enter into the kingdom. He didn't talk about entering into the church. You know, if you are not converted, you don't become like a little child. You can't enter into this kingdom. Jesus was always focused on the kingdom. And then he said, look, when you are in the kingdom of God, though, as a citizen, the difference between God's kingdom and every other kingdom is that the citizens of this kingdom, I said that before yesterday, Revelation chapter 1, verse 6, and Revelation chapter 5, verse 10. He has made us kings and priests. Also, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, we are a royal kingdom of priests, you know, royalty. Everyone in that kingdom is royalty. You know, quite like some kingdoms you see today. You look at the Great Britain, we have some of our brethren from Great Britain on the line today. You know, the only people who are royalty are people who, you know, are in the royal dynasty. You know, the House of Windsor or whatever they were down through the ages, they are the only royalty. Well, in the kingdom of God, everybody is royalty. We're all kings. We're all lords. That's why he's called King of Kings. He's not just king of some mean subjects, you know. And they have the way in these kingdoms where they demarcate the royalty and the peasants, right? You know, you are either royalty or you are peasants. Well, that's not in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, everybody is royalty. And this is what we are going to get to in this series, to really see and understand that. Well, there's also a government that is behind the kingdom. We've read that already in Daniel. You know, there is a language that is behind the kingdom. And they have a language, they have a culture, they have benefits, they have a code of ethics, they have all these things. They have a constitution. I mean, every kingdom has that. You know, well, where are all these things for our kingdom? The constitution, we find that. That's actually the Bible's right here for us. You know, we have laws. You know, we have benefits. Just because, you know, yesterday I said it, just because somebody climb over the wall, they're trying to do that here in the United States, all along the border. You know, there are people from Mexico trying to get in. You know, if they get in somehow, that won't make them citizens. They will still be illegal aliens, you know, at best. You know, maybe they would figure out a way to, you know, to make their stay regularized or whatever. But, you know, just crossing in doesn't make you a citizen. Jesus said the way to become a citizen is you must be born again into the kingdom. Then you become a citizen. You know, now that's the only way to become a citizen into this kingdom. In some countries in the world, like the United States, there are two ways that you can become a citizen. If you are born in the kingdom or country, so to speak, then you are automatically a citizen. Or you can also naturalize later on through some process. And then, you know, it's a more tedious process, actually. You know, that's what, you know, Paul had the engagement. He was talking to the captain of the soldiers. He said, look, you know, are you a Roman? He said, yes. You know, man said, look, it took me a great price to buy this. Paul said, well, but I was freeborn. You know, Paul was born right there. And he said, I was freeborn. He said, well, it took me a great price. So, but in the kingdom, there's only one way to become a citizen in the kingdom of heaven. You must be born again into the kingdom. Jesus explaining it to Nicodemus, he couldn't understand it. And Jesus said, well, that's the way it is. If you are a rabbi and you don't understand these things, you know, you should. You got to be born again. Now, this was the purpose. This was the plan that God wanted for us, is to be born again into this kingdom. Because we lost the right to it. As a matter of fact, they were driven out of the garden and there were cherubims there. They said they can't even go in there and don't even come near the tree of life and so on. Well, when Jesus came and he died on the cross, we see in Matthew chapter 27 that the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom. Well, it was signifying something, that the way of to the holiest was now made open for us. We don't need to be outside again looking in. We now have access. Now that's described in Romans chapter 5. We now have access. Now if we have access though, and we are in there, what is our role and what is our mission? And this is the part that people don't understand. It's we're just, most of the time we're waiting to go to heaven. And we miss a tremendous opportunity to do the work that God wants us to do. As not only citizens, But the people of this kingdom, they have many roles as citizens of heaven, but living upon the earth. That makes them ambassadors. You know, so now we see that we are ambassadors for Christ. And as a matter of fact, you know, that's the thing that Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. So what does an ambassador, well, an ambassador actually does not live in their own country. They are on assignment on a foreign land. So if we are ambassadors for Christ, this tells us that wherever we are right now, it's not our home country, you know, because we are representing. But what must an ambassador do? You know, how does an ambassador behave? Well, an ambassador is not voted in like other political things, political positions. Even in the governments of this world today, an ambassador is actually appointed. They're not voted in by people. Well, we have been called and chosen. We have been made ambassadors. We are an ambassador of the kingdom of God. And we must realize that we are from above and not of this world. Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 23, you know, he said, you know, talking to the Jews about some of these things, he said, look, I am, and in other places, whatever he said about himself, he said to others, I'm from above, you know, you're from beneath, and all of these things. He said the same thing in John chapter 15 and verse 19. He also said the same thing in John chapter 17, verses 14 to 16. He was actually talking about his people now when he was praying. He said, I'm not of this world, neither are they of this world. You know, so we are not of this world, even though we are in this world. Now, an ambassador does not and never does an ambassador become a citizen of the foreign land, you know, where they represent. You know, they are not citizens. They don't become citizens. They don't conform to the culture of the land they belong. They hold on to their own culture, hold on to their own practices. In fact, if you go to the embassy, you know, and of the country in a foreign country, it's like a country within a country. They are actually immune to many of the laws. They are not subject to the laws of the foreign land. They cannot become citizens of the foreign land. They are not subject to their laws and so on. Here are the things that Jesus said. He said, look, the ambassador is protected though by the backing of the foreign government that they represent. You know, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, he said in verses 18 and 20, all power in heaven and on earth is given to me. You know, go therefore in my name. So that's, you are backed by that power. Luke chapter 10 verse 19, I give you all power. He said that. But as an ambassador, you cannot be conformed to the foreign land. Romans chapter 12 verse 2 says, don't be conformed. You can't be conformed to their practices. An ambassador, you know, must speak what the country they represent speaks. They can't do otherwise. You know, they can't speak their own thing. You know, Jesus said in John chapter 5 verse 19 and verse 30, he said the Son can do nothing except what the Father does. When the Father shows him something, then he does that. He said the same thing pretty much in John chapter 6 and verse 38. You know, there are many places where Jesus said things like this. The Son, which case he was the blueprint of what the sons of God and the ambassadors should look like. So every time he told these statements, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, or to do the will of him that sent me, and things like that. You know, well, that's what an ambassador does. You know, ambassador doesn't, they're not there to do their own will. They're there to represent that kingdom. You know, but if the ambassador doesn't understand that, then he has failed from day one. You know, he needs to understand that. We also need to understand that. Otherwise, we failed from day one. You know, and ambassador must only speak what the kingdom speaks. Can't speak anything else. You know, that you see that also in John chapter 7, verses 16 to 18. Jesus was talking about that. You know, many places he talked about these kinds of things. You know, he can only say, my doctrine is not my own. He that sent me. I can't just come up and say something. I can only say what he said and so on and so forth. I mean, throughout many places, he talks about this. And what does that mean from our standpoint? Well, it means that you as an ambassador for Christ and for the kingdom of God, you can only speak, you should only be speaking what the kingdom says. The kingdom says that the inhabitants of that kingdom shall not say, I am sick. Then you shouldn't be saying, I am sick. Hallelujah. Praise God. You can't speak otherwise. You speak what the kingdom is speaking. As a matter of fact, you know, it's been known that terrorists who try to, you know, they might even kidnap an ambassador and try to, or kidnap members of his family, try to make them negotiate. For the United States, the United States does not negotiate with terrorists. So even if an ambassador's family was kidnapped, you know, he still cannot go against the culture of his country. Still cannot negotiate. You know, the things that the devil has in the world today, we are not supposed to be subject to that. And so as an ambassador, you are immune for those things. But you must recognize that characteristic. When we recognize that we have responsibilities, we know we have responsibilities to represent only the interests of the kingdom. You know, John chapter 6 verse 38 tells us that. I mean, Jesus wasn't representing his own interests. He said, I'm representing only the interest of the Father. I have a lot more verses of scripture to read, but I'm just trying to rush through it. I don't want to, you know, there's some things I want to cover. You know, I came down from heaven not to represent myself, but the will of him that sent me, and so on and so forth. I mean, there are many, many places where he said that. Now that we've known that, you know, about ambassadors and how an ambassador should represent, now that we know that we are from heaven, even though we are living on earth, as ambassadors, we understand that. Then we need to understand, you know, the culture of the kingdom, the language of the kingdom, there are keys of the kingdom, so that we really know what this kingdom is all about. And the reason I digress a little bit into the church thing was because, you know, some people are so focused, you know, thinking that the church is the kingdom, because Jesus said, I'll build my church. Yeah, you know, the church is part of the kingdom, and the church are the agents in the kingdom, you know, to bring, I mean, they're like, you know, representatives of the kingdom upon this earth to show the example so that people will say, I want what you have. You know, when they see something, that's the reason that Jesus did miracles. The reason why he did all those things, well, one of the reasons. Another reason was the compassion that he had towards the people, you know, to heal them and deliver them from the power of the devil. But by he doing those things, people can actually see how people in the kingdom should operate. And when Jesus finished his own and showed them for years, even as part of their training, before he left them, he sent them out two by two. You go do these things that I've been seeing, you know. So they had to do some, call it practicals. You know, they've been learning the theory. He sent them out to do some practicals. And they came back, they reported that, you know, they had tremendous power over these things and so on. And Jesus, you know, he was always showing them. And when he was leaving, he gave them, you know, commission. Now you go now and teach the people the same things I've been teaching you. the principles of the kingdom, teaching them to observe those things, you know, and so forth, and shining as light in the world. You know, all these things that I've been teaching you all these years, you go and these 3.5 years or whatever that I've been with you, you now go and do the same. You know, and he left. You know, and the Bible says that before he left, in John chapter 20, verse 21, you know, that he breathed on them and gave them the ability. Now, they didn't receive the Holy Spirit right there, but he gave them the ability. It was prophetic. He knew the day the Holy Spirit was coming on the day of Pentecost. And the Holy Spirit couldn't come before the day of Pentecost because there was you know, some prophetic significance to that. You know, but, you know, in John chapter 20, verse 22, he breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Well, it looked as if nothing happened right there, but he made a way for it. It's kind of like when Jesus said to the tree, "No man eat of thee hereafter." But it looked like if nothing happened, but something did happen. Made a way for it, you know, and eventually he died. And with that way, Jesus made a way for them to receive the Holy Spirit. Just like Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, God breathed into the man a breath of life in his nostrils and became a living spirit. You know, the same thing Jesus breathed on them here. He said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." And you know, so he was done with it, because before he couldn't really release the Holy Spirit because he had the Holy Spirit not by measure. And he told them, "Unless I go, Holy Spirit cannot come." Well, the Holy Spirit is now come, you know, be their governor. Jesus said, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." But it was the Holy Spirit that came. But that's a, you know, dimension of the Lord coming in the Spirit of God as a governor, you know, in the world and in his kingdom. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. "But thou, Bethlehem, though thou be the smallest among the cities of Judah, yet out of thee shall come one that is going to be governor among my people, whose goings forth have been from of old, even from everlasting." Now that's the Lord. You know, and when he said, "I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you," and he sent the Holy Spirit, that's the same version of him coming now in us, in the Holy Spirit. We now have that governor. The governor is here, just like in Rome. He now installed his own government in the colony. No need to carry anybody away captive. Just install your government here and change them to become like what you want them to be. And that is the role of the kingdom of God right now. We begin to change them by demonstrating what the real kingdom looks like. You know, when everybody is sick, we are well. When everybody say there is a downcasting, well, you're saying there is a lifting up. I mean, when things are not looking up for the world, things are looking up for you. When everybody is in depression, you have joy. And the Holy Spirit teaching you the language of the kingdom. Jesus said this is the way they used to do it before, but here's how we do it in the kingdom. Before, they used to hate their enemies. In the kingdom, we love our enemies. And began to tell everybody, this is how you do it in the kingdom. Well, Paul began to write, said, look, in the kingdom, this is the language. You have love, joy, faith, you know, all these things. We call them the spirit, the fruit of the spirit. But it's the language of the kingdom. This is what you will look like. And that's what God said in the beginning. Let's make man to look like us, come into our image and our likeness, and let them have dominion. You can't really have that dominion if you don't come into his image and likeness. So Jesus came showing how to be in the image and likeness of God. It took him 30 years too in preparation. I talked about this yesterday. You know, I mean, he already knew what he came to do, but he wasn't ready. Ladies and gentlemen, he was ready, and this is like a paradox. I mean, he was ready from before the war began. He even told Pilate, he said, "Look, for this purpose I was born." He told the people, "This is why I came." He was ready from before the world even began. The Lamb was slain before the world began. However, when he came into the world as a human being, which he had to come in to pay the price as a human being in the form of a man, as a man, he wasn't ready. He was ready as the Son of God, but as the Son of Man, he wasn't ready. And he had to go through some things, 30 years, you know, to become eligible to be heard as a rabbi, you know, in Israel. And so took him 30 years, but he was patient. He learned obedience. He did all those things and so forth. Now, while we have been learning that Jesus had taught us and so forth, our own learning doesn't need to take 30 years. Because now, you know, he's made the way and we have a Holy Spirit. But we need to learn. And sometimes also people don't know that even though they are called and anointed, they may not be ready. You may be called. You may be anointed for service, but you may not be ready. And you have to have some training. Now, some people don't want training. Just want to jump right out there. And then they fumble the ball. You know, make a lot of mistakes. You need to have some training. And Jesus took him 30 years. And finally, when he figured it all out, he came out and announced the start of his open public ministry. Ladies and gentlemen, the place where we are going is the place where Adam fell from. This was what Christ came to do. When he talked about the keys of the kingdom was for us to understand how do we get back there. And Jesus didn't do it in one day, but he talked about it many times over. I mean, all the things that he was saying, all the parables of the kingdom, you know, in so many places in the Bible, you can read about the parables of the kingdom. He had it in Mark chapter 4. I mean, he has it in Matthew chapter 13. He has it in Luke chapter 19. He has it in Matthew chapter 20. I mean, parables of the kingdom all over the place. In fact, in Matthew chapter 13, almost a whole chapter devoted to parables of the kingdom. Time and time again, we say, now the kingdom of heaven is like unto. And he spent a lot of time preaching and teaching about the kingdom. And even Paul, the great apostle Paul, after all that Paul did and all his writings and everything that he did. Well, let's fast forward to the end place here in Acts chapter 28. And this was Luke writing all these things, right? In Acts chapter 28, after all said and done, he's been in Rome, he's done all these things and so on, you know. And Paul dwelt, Acts chapter 28, verse 30. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came to him, preaching the kingdom of God, teaching those things that concern the Lord Jesus Christ, and with all confidence, no man forbidding him. I mean, he was still preaching the kingdom. Most of the time, you know, we're not giving the entire definition of what it means to preach the kingdom, but you have to look at what Jesus preached, taught, and did. You know, that's how, if you want to understand what is the, it's not exactly a mystery anymore, because it's all recorded in the Bible for us. You know, so when we read the Gospels and we read the beginning of the book of Acts, you know, then we see all the things that Jesus began to do and to teach. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day he was taken up. You know, after that, he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen of what to do after he left. So, The definition of the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom is to see what Jesus preached and what he taught. So everything he preached, everything he taught, that's the message of the kingdom. He may not say that the kingdom of heaven is like, but if he was saying something, that's still the message of the kingdom, because that's what he came to do. So if he said, like in Matthew chapter 6, if he said, when you fast, don't make your face like a long face so that others will know that you are fasting, but do it like this. When you pray, don't do like this. Don't stand in the corners. Don't do this. Don't do that. But do it like this. All of that is part of the message of the kingdom. Because he's saying, this is how we do in the kingdom. In the kingdom, we don't behave like hypocrites. You know, we don't want to show off that we are fasting. We don't want to show off that we know how to pray, stand in the corners of the streets, make long prayer and so forth. No. You know, in the kingdom, when we give alms, we don't want to show, you know, that we are, you know, the one that giving alms, you know, and then show off. No, it's how we do it. So all the things that Jesus was saying and teaching was telling us how we do in the kingdom. Now, once we understand these basic concepts, now we are ready for the real keys of the kingdom. The keys that make us to be able to do something on earth that is sanctioned in heaven. Now, that's usually not how it works. First, it's said in heaven and then it's done on earth. Jesus even taught the disciples. He said, look, pray that what's done in heaven as it is done in heaven, so it'll be on earth. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Heaven's already got it figured out. We need to figure it out on earth. So pray that his will be done in earth as it is done in heaven. You know, that's it. And that's what God was asking Job. Do you understand dominion? I mean, ordinances of heaven? How you can set things in heaven and cause them to have dominion upon the earth? Do you understand that? Of course, he didn't understand it. But by God talking to Job, we understand the direction in which things generally happen in the heaven first, and then have dominion. Powers of darkness understand this. But Jesus is now saying, when you understand the keys of the kingdom, you will be able to do on earth, and heaven will respond. Not the other way around now. Because you already understand the other way around. You already understand you are doing the instructions of the Father. You came not to do your own will. You're already representing. And then the Father and the kingdom will turn around and back you up. When you now say something, the government of the kingdom you represent will now back you up. When you now say something upon the earth, you know, the kingdom of heaven will now back you up. Now, so that is powerful stuff that we're going to get into a bit more later. Perhaps tomorrow we'll get into that. But what I've tried to do these last 2 days is to show us, one, the reason why Christ came, and two, to understand that, you know, even though Christ said he will build a church, there's a bigger picture of what he is building. A kingdom is a bigger picture of what he's building, because he only spoke about the church a few times. But this kingdom is the one that is going to destroy all the other kingdoms and fill the whole earth, according to the prophecy of Daniel chapter 2. And when he does, at the end of the day, you know, he promised this same kingdom to those who humble themselves. You know, blessed are those who are humble, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. He promised all these things. You know, and as we begin to come into this understanding, how should we live our lives and begin to come into this understanding? First, we should understand that we're not just waiting to go to heaven. Yeah, this is the reason why people don't know what they should be doing. Jesus said, occupy until I come. You know, occupy is like occupy the place. Bring you to occupy the place and do some things until I come. You know, so we're not just to sit down and be praying to go to heaven. Jesus did not pray that. What Jesus prayed was that the Father should not take them to heaven, but keep them from the evil because they have a job to do. Now, there's coming a time when we will have to leave this earth. When that time comes, and it's for a while. When that time comes, Jesus said, look, there's coming a time of judgment and cleansing. God has to cleanse all the scriptures. They dovetail together, you know. And it's coming. I mean, you can't just take one part of the scripture. They all fit together. One person will say it a little bit this way because here a little, there a little. They only know in part and prophesy in part. So Daniel didn't have all of it. Isaiah didn't have all of it. Nobody had all of it. They gave little pieces here. It's like a giant jigsaw puzzle. But we have to put it all together to get a complete picture. Only the Holy Spirit has the complete picture. But we now understand that at the end of it all, there's something beautiful that God is bringing. He's bringing us back to the kingdom that was lost. And it will be called the kingdom of Christ. Hallelujah. And in the kingdom of Christ, he's made all the citizens of that kingdom kings. You know, and he said, he that overcometh, Revelation 3 and 21, shall sit with me in my throne as a king, as I overcame and I sat with my Father in his throne. Rulership, you know, is what dominion is. And that rulership is something that we really cannot have. Well, first of all, we can't even have it unless we understand it. But even when we understand it, we can't have it unless we meet the prerequisites. So some of the prerequisites, two major prerequisites, which are very deep, but encompass everything, is that we must be in his image and after his likeness. Look like him, talk like him, act like him, and have his character. When that is fulfilled in us, then we are ready for rulership. God can give us rulership right now. Because if he did, and you didn't have the character of God, first thing you would be doing is kill all your enemies. If God gave you the power now, there are some people that pray against their enemies. There are actually some denominations. They call fire down on their enemies. What kind of nonsense is that? You know, Jesus said, pray for your enemies. This is what we do in the kingdom. We don't do that call fire down upon your enemies kind of thing. That's not the kingdom. We don't do that. You know, maybe they did in the past, but the kingdom of God, we don't do that. Jesus told the disciples to. Can't call fire down on anybody. We don't do that anymore. You know, see, this is what we do in the kingdom. We pray for our enemies. We love our enemies. You know, we pray for those that despitefully use us. You know, when the people strike you on one side, you just turn the cheek and move on. You know, this is what we do. We don't do an eye for an eye anymore. If somebody does something evil to you, we don't repay them with evil. We don't do that in the kingdom anymore. Jesus has been teaching all these things. But we are not paying attention to the things that Jesus is teaching. Or has been taught, I mean, has taught his disciples and have presented to us through the Gospels. The Gospels, when you read the Gospels and you read the Acts, it's for you to see how Jesus taught them how to behave, what to do, and see how some of them, when they went out, see what they did. Look at it. You know, so, but the life of Jesus through the Gospels show us what we should be doing and how it should be in the kingdom. Tomorrow, by the grace of God, we're going to go actually into these keys of the kingdom. The keys that are able to put you in the place where you actually say something here on earth and heaven backs it up. Wow. Isn't that amazing? But like I said in the beginning, if you have a key and you don't know what it's for, doesn't do you any good. It's as if you had no key. Or if you have a bunch of keys, you know they open something, but you don't know which key opens what door. then it still does you no good. And you'll be fumbling around trying to figure it out. So ladies and gentlemen, that's our lesson for today. And as I encouraged and admonished us yesterday, bear with me as I go through these lessons. And don't jump to any conclusion until you hear it all. But sometimes we have to undo some of our belief systems because they may be hindering us from understanding what God is really doing. If we are just, this is the way it's always been done. This is our way we've always been taught. You know, whether it was the right teaching or not, but that's been the culture we grew up in, and that's been the thing that we know. And so when God is revealing to us what he's really saying, we might find it difficult to understand. But if you come with an open mind, you know, then you will be able to understand. And understanding is key. Because if you don't understand the message of their kingdom, which Jesus said, the sower went out and sowed the seed. And he said the seed, and that action of sowing is the word of the kingdom. When everybody hears the word of the kingdom and they don't understand it, then the enemy comes and pluck it from their heart. Then that not be our portion in Jesus' name. Lord, give us understanding to these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.